Prajapati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ik ityuktva si daris tushnim. Bhagavan Atmamayaya Pitro Sampashyatok Sadyo Bhabhuva Prakritak Shishuhu Shishuko Uvacha Ityuktvasi Daristushnim Bhagavan Atmamayaya Pitrok Sampashyatok Sadyo Babuva Prakritak Shishuhu Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti Uktva, after instructing in this way, Asit, remained, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tushnim, silent. Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmamayaya, by acting in his own spiritual energy. Pitro Sampashyato. While his father and mother were factually seeing him. Sadyaha. Immediately. Babuva. He became. Prakritaha. Like an ordinary human being. Shishuhu. A child. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, in brackets, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, whatever is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by his spiritual energy. Nothing is forced upon him by the material energy. This is the difference between the Lord and an ordinary living being. The Vedas say, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Swabhaviki Ganabalo Kriyacha. It is natural for the Lord to be untinged by material qualities. And because everything is perfectly present in his spiritual energy, as soon as he desires something, it is immediately done. The Lord is not a Prakrita Shishu, a child of this world. But by his personal energy, he appeared like one. Ordinary people may have different difficulty accepting the Supreme Controller, God, as a human being, because they forget that he can do everything by spiritual energy, Atma Mayaya. Non-believers say, how Can the Supreme Controller descend as an ordinary being? This sort of thinking is materialistic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inconceivable, beyond the conception of our words and mind, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Those who doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come as a human being and turn himself into a human child are fools who think that Krishna's body is material, that he is born and therefore that he therefore also dies. This is not just Prabhupada's words, this is Krishna's words. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashvita. Mudhas, fools, consider me disrespect me. They think that I've become a human being, et incarnatus, that I've taken a body made of flesh. Avyaktim yaktum apana manyante mam abhudayaha. The people who don't have proper intelligence, they think that I'm originally impersonal and that I've just artificially, by illusion, assumed personality. The personality is an illusion. That is foolishness, to think that the personality of God is illusion. And therefore, we label such fools as Mayavadis, those who say that Krishna is also Maya. Now, Prabhupada has two more paragraphs in the purport. I'll read the rest of it. Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verses 28 and 29, there is a description of Krishna's leaving his body. Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, when all the members of the Yadu dynasty met their end, Krishna also put an end to himself. And the only member of the family who remained alive was Uddhava. How was this possible? Shukadeva Goswami answers that Krishna, by his own energy, destroyed the entire family and then thought of making his own body disappear. In this connection, Shukadeva Goswami described how the Lord gave up his body. But this was not the destruction of Krishna's body, rather it was the disappearance of the Supreme Lord by his personal energy. Actually, the Lord does not give up his body, which is eternal. But as he can change his body from the form of Vishnu to that of an ordinary human child, he can change his body to any form he likes. This does not mean that he gives up his body. By spiritual energy, the Lord can appear in a body made of wood or stone. He can change his body into anything because everything is his energy. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. As clearly said in the Bhagavad Gita, binna prakritir ashtada. The material elements are separated energies of the Supreme Lord. If he transforms himself into the Archa Murti, the worshipable deity, which we see as stone or wood, he is still Krishna. Therefore, the Shastra warns, Archye Vishnau Shiladhir Guru Shunaramatihi. One who thinks that the worshipable deity in the temple is made of wood or stone, one who sees a Vaishnav Guru as an ordinary human being, or one who materially conceives of a Vaishnava as belonging to a particular caste, is Naraki, a resident of hell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear before us in many forms as he likes, but we must know the true facts. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. By following the instructions of sadhu, guru, and shastra, the saintly persons, the spiritual master, and the authoritative scriptures, one can understand Krishna and then make his life successful by returning home back to Godhead. Jiva Goswami in the Sundarbhas explains that the body, personal manifestation of the personality of Godhead is never created or destroyed. Rather, when we hear about his birth or his disappearance, this is just the becoming visible or invisible of the eternal form. It is before our eyes or it's hidden from our eyes. Really, we're talking about avirbhava and tirobhava. Appearance and disappearance. Like the sun, in the morning appears, at sunset in the evening it disappears. But the sun still exists behind us on the other side of the world. It doesn't go out of existence every day. Not like in ancient Greek or Egyptian mythology, they thought the sun was swallowed up by a serpent at night and then vomited up in the morning again. No, the sun doesn't go out of existence during the night. The form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal. He just shows it to certain people at certain times, and other times, other places, he doesn't show it. This may seem trivial, obvious, but if we understand this, the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, we will not have to take a birth again in this material world. A devotee could say that I don't even care for liberation, imitating Lord Chaitanya. I don't even care for liberation. But maybe that's a proud boast. Maybe we should care for liberation in our present condition. Liberation means you don't have to take birth again. That involves a lot of things you don't have to do. You don't have to suffer in many ways. You don't have to go to school and take exams again. You don't have to get a job. You don't have to, you know, put up with so many things that we had to put up with because we took birth in the material world. If you don't have to take birth in the material world, you don't have to suffer any of these frustrations and anxieties. So liberation, we shouldn't be unrealistically proud of being beyond liberation, beyond the interest in liberation. Actually, for us in our present condition, liberation is not a bad idea. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Nakang Shati Sanat Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. What to speak of actually not taking birth again, even preliminary to that, in the Jivan Mukta stage, living in liberated consciousness while still in this body, there are many benefits. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. You can be peaceful. If you feel disturbed externally, internally, in your current condition, wouldn't you rather be free from disturbance? Be prasanatma? Peaceful. Satisfied? Why not? Sounds good. Nashochati nakanchati. You can avoid lamenting and hankering. Another two things we could do without. Samap sarveshu bhuteshu. You can be equal to everybody. You don't have to go through this psychodrama constantly of identifying people as your friends and enemies, especially when we do that to Vaishnavas. That we form material friendships with Vaishnavas, that's not beneficial. Then we degrade ourselves and our friends by acting as if we had a material relationship. And if I consider Vaishnavas to be my opponents, then I'm in serious trouble. Because I'm on the verge already of committing serious Vaishnava aparads. So if I can avoid, especially in my dealings with Vaishnavas, material attachment and aversion, that's also very desirable. And last benefit, mad bhaktim labhate param. When you're in this equipoised Brahmabhuta consciousness, that's your qualification for entering into the higher realms of devotional service. In fact, Krishna is saying that the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti is liberation. In a sense, that's true. We're not in personal liberation, and we don't have to literally die and leave this world, but we have to attain this consciousness of not being attached or repelled by anything or anybody. Being repelled means I'm attached. I have something I want, something else is standing in the way of what I want, and therefore I'm frustrated and angry. But it's because I had that want in the first place. If I wasn't attached in the first place, I wouldn't have any reason for being repelled by anybody or anything. Jamna Karma Cha Medivyam. We can have liberation if we understand Krishna as he is, particularly how he takes his birth and how he acts. How can you understand Krishna? Not by speculation, by guessing, by using your own good intelligence. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prashada lesha anugrahita evahi janati tatvan bhagavan mahimno. Only if you get at least a small dose of Krishna's mercy potency. You have to be blessed by Krishna. He has to show his favor on you. Then janati tatvam bhagavan mihimno. Then you can understand factually, scientifically, Krishna's personal glories. Na eko chanyopi chiram vijinvan. Nobody else, no one who has not received some dose of that mercy, can discover Krishna as he is. Chiram vichinvanapi, even speculating for a long time. You can speculate forever and make so many educated guesses about what you think God is. But you'll never discover him that way. You have to get the blessings of the Lord. And Prabhupada more clearly specifies, by following the instructions of sadhu, guru, and shastra, one can understand Krishna. By serving faithfully sadhu, guru, and shastra, they give us their blessings. When the guru blesses us, when the Vaishnavas bless us, if we satisfy all the Vaishnavas, then our success is assured. And even if we can't satisfy everybody, if we at least satisfy our spiritual master, then we're in a secure position. And if we can satisfy the injunctions of the Shastra, then Krishna is practically obliged to bless us. If our guru, pure devotee, puts in a request for Krishna's mercy upon us, then Krishna will give it on the request of his pure devotee. You may call this spiritual politics. You know, you go behind the back of the person you want to get something from by asking someone who has some influence. It's self-interest to act in such a way. But this is sanctioned, this is permitted in spiritual life. In fact, it's recommended. You want Krishna's favor? Go to his devotee. Go to your spiritual master and get their favor. And then they can talk to Krishna for you. Get things done. This is a practical way to get things done. Just like in India, there are ways to get things done. In the spiritual world, there are ways to get things done. You go to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu and make your petition, and they'll take care of things for you. And the only bakshis you have to pay, the only bribe you have to pay, is a little bit of service to get the favor of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regular, constant, daily service rendered to the Bhagavat. Book Bhagavatam and devotee Bhagavatam. That covers sadhu and shastra and guru, all three. The Bhagavatam. The book that we're reading is Bhagavatam. The devotees are all Bhagavats. And the guru is Krishna Preshtha, the best of the Bhagavats, Bhagavatottama. So it's all Bhagavat Seva.
serving Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We should every day make sure we do this. Just as a man who wants to be successful in his career has to report to work every day. He has to be diligent and responsible. So we have to report to work every day in our occupational duties of serving the Bhagavats. And we have to be in attendance, punch in on time, to do our work of seva to the Bhagavats. Nityam, on a daily basis. That assures us, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, that our deficits, our deficiencies, our faults will be rectified. Naturally, just as a doctor assures you, you just take these pills and after 1 month your condition will clear up. He's not telling you how it's going to happen. He doesn't even tell you what's in the pills. Trust me. You know, I've had hundreds of patients who have been cured by these pills. You just take the pills. I don't have time to explain everything to you. Like that, we just do the Bhagavat Seva. These little pills of sitting in the Bhagavatam class and doing some personal service to the devotees, to the spiritual master. It works. How it works, we may not understand. Maybe it's too complicated to explain to us how it all works. But it works. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Our contamination will be cleansed. This is our problem. Our problems are not with other people, or even with our bodies and our minds. That's just symptomatic. The problem is our hearts are dirty. We have to clean the heart. This is the first instruction of the Shikshastaka. Shikshastaka, it's not just a poem, you know, for entertainment. It's Shikshastakam. 8 verses of instruction, made to be taken seriously as instructions. So the first instruction, Cheto Dharpana Marjana. Clean your mirror. Clean the mirror of the heart. First business of a devotee. That's our main problem, and the main necessity is to cleanse our hearts. Everything else is symptomatic. Let's go directly to the root of the problem. Dirty heart, envious of Krishna, envious of his devotees, greedy after material pleasure, and selfish. Those attitudes of the heart have to be rectified. And how is it done? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By constant service rendered unto the Bhagavats, the book and the people. And then, by following the instructions of Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, the saintly persons, the spiritual master, and the authoritative scriptures, one can understand Krishna, and then one makes his life successful by returning home back to Godhead. We can enter Krishna's pastimes, whichever ones we like. We can choose. Okay, any questions or comments?
When we are reading that chapter of Bhagavatam this morning, it was mentioned the names of the sages Deva and Asita.
Yes.
And they are mentioned also in Bhagavad-gita. I remember reading one time that sometimes they are identified
as one person.
As one person, who's Ashtavakra Muni.
He's Ashtavakra Muni? Yeah. Maybe. I don't remember. I've seen in the same commentary that it's either one person or two. You know, it's not that different authorities have different opinions. Even the same authority speaking in the same sentence says, well, it might be one person, it might be two. So it's not settled exactly who it is. Okay, but maybe it's Ashtavakra Muni. You want to know about him? I just know what I read in the comic book.
Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two.
I read, but not in a very authoritative source. I can bring the comic book from home.
I read another part of the encyclopedia.
Probably Mahabharata says something about him.
Okay.
His father was killed by some pundit who was actually, I don't know, the whole story about him. He had a curse on him that he would die on his 16th birthday. That was Ashtavakra or somebody else?
No, it was not
like
his brother.
Oh, he was, okay. Yes. Kohoda. His name was Kohoda. But what was he doing to somebody who lost the debate? Yeah, anybody can come and debate him, but if you lose, you get drowned.
Yeah.
No, Kohoda.
Who's Kohoda?
Some pundit. King Janaka's court.
No, he was the son of Varuna, and Varuna was performing his own sacrifice.
Well, you don't find out that after the end.
So he was here, so that's when he expects him to say this, but he's like, under water. And then the boy came and Ashtavakra came with his friend and they beat him. And
he jumped
in the water, brought
all the stages
to the
brought
them back.
And then he became a Mayavadi. I think Ashtavakra Muni's teachings are impersonal. That was Ashtavakra? Okay, yes. Well, that's somewhere in the commentary it says that that Rupa Goswami saw is Ashtavakra. And then you've read somewhere else that Devola Asita is Ashtavakra. But this is just based on little pieces of information from different sources.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anything else? Yes, please.
Prabhupada often says Phalena Parichyate.
Yes.
And so I was thinking that, does it always mean that if the results of a particular person's actions are good,
It's not the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
That you can do any damn thing, and if you get a good result, that's okay. No, that's not what it means. The way that's implied is if you're uncertain about whether something's good or bad, then see what the result is. Someone can justify. Not to justify violation of Shastra or doing something evil or sinful, but if there's something doubtful, I'm trying something, I don't know if it'll succeed. It's not a question of obeying or disobeying Shastra, but practicality. I'm doing what's theoretically the right thing, but in the circumstances, is it going to work? I don't know. So the answer is Palena Parichyate. See by the result. You try and see what happens. Yes? Yes? Well, if we're pure devotees, then everything's just determined by Krishna. If we're consorting with Maya, then things are under the control of Maya's rules. And if we're halfway in between, then it's a combination of both. Okay, so the way it's applied is not exactly what you were thinking, that it justifies doing something that might be questionable.
That's not my question.
Yeah.
My question is, in the sphere of, let's say, devotees itself, sometimes, you know, somebody is accused of not being a good devotee or whatever. He ends up making lots of devotees or distributing books or something. Somebody else is supposedly nice, but results are not nice. So how does one reconcile these two aspects?
Well, yes, if a devotee does good service, that should be a sign that he's a good devotee, you know. But it's not always the way it seems. Someone may be doing what looks like lots of glorious service, but wait a while, see what the situation 5 years later. Maybe everything he does, because he wasn't such a great devotee, maybe he was something really faulty in his character, and he was committing aparads, and 5 years later, everything he did was undone. You know, you have to see, you know, wait until the fruit ripens. You can tell by the fruit, but not just when it just begins to grow on the tree. Wait until the fruit is ripe, then check it. So, yes, that's a general principle, and you can apply it to judging who's a successful devotee by the results, but you got to apply it intelligently. Don't apply it prematurely. You know, you pick up an unripe fruit and you may complain about it because you haven't waited and given it a chance to ripen. Okay. It's a good principle, but you have to apply it carefully. It can be misapplied. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.